Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm Julia. Nice to meet you.
I'm Shen. Nice to meet you. Yeah, it's always awkward to start with that. My name is Shen. It's spelled as X-U-A-N. Very often I go by just X. I'm a musician, artist, and a web developer. Even though as much as I want to incorporate all of my different roles into the same kind of practice, but in a lot of cases, in reality, they function really differently. I've been playing music since I was five. So music is actually my first lens that I use to create art. I have a longer history with playing music than the other two roles. And because of that, I kind of sort of established a worldview that based on sound. And as I started incorporating, electronics and media technologies in music making, that started to be expanded into more of a view of building networks of, sonic objects, or even not just limited within this the sense, I guess. I do consider my working process, a lot of times it's improvised. Using code or computation, it's kind of contrast the idea of improvisation. Yeah, it's probably best exemplified in my upcoming LP album. In this album, I did continuing improvising in a more traditional way, but I also built some tools in the computer to help that process. For example, I like to use the computational randomness to sort of, intensify this improvisational process. And I guess take this new album as an example. I was trying to create harmonies out of these seemingly chaotic processes. For example, when we think about improvisation, we always think about something that's unknown, something that's unpredictable. Same with computer randomness. I'm interested in finding the orders in the chaos. The show at AVE, it's ongoing right now. I don't know when it's over, actually. It's a group show, and I'm showing with three Montreal-based artists. Yeah, the theme of the show, the title of the show is called The Large. So I guess the translation would be The Wide. And this, the show is about, you know, different examples of this idea of hyper object. You know, the phenomenon that is so interconnected with so many different other networks and phenomenon in a way that we as human we cannot perceive and understand. I was showing two works in this show. One is a work I created, this performative process where I text to myself with the smart typing function on iPhone, and you know, as it usually suggests three options for you to choose from, and I sort of just like choose from whatever option that's given to me, and then make sentences, and then started to emailing myself with these texts, and until the three options that were given to me changed to a new set. What I look at this process, I found it interesting is because how smart typing works is it actually analyze your typing habits, right? Like how you phrase things, how, for example, in emails or, you know, with social media. It's a consumer scaled AI system, basically. And it's sort of learning from you and predicting from your history or your perspective. But as you're interacting or as you're feeding into that system, the notion of the self or the notion of you just started, you know, got mingled together. And in my mind, I just imagined them like, you know, water, and it just started diluted, you know, into this one thing. Another work, it's also sort of related to the idea of fluid. I made a two-channel videos, and they depict this scene of water wave, which you will be seeing, you know, at the end of a boat. It's kind of from my personal experience, because I'm originally from China, and I grew up by the ocean. It's that the imagery of the ocean, it's always very nostalgic to me. And by looping, you know, just the water wave that's forever going away, it's a feeling of, you know, you're always on the move from your home, from what's familiar and what's known to you. And then another channel is the front of the boat, which usually when we're on a boat or a cruise ship, there will be a flag that, you know, announcing, you know, either the function of this trip or, you know, the destination. And in my video, I sort of animated the text, a set of words on top of the flag, and it shuffles through all these words that are related to marine navigation. So, for example, there will be escape, emancipation, which is a word I really, really loved. 'Cause when you think about the ship, or when you think about navigation on the ocean, it's like, you know, we as human, we started this, it's the start point of, you know, this global colonization, right? It starts from the cruising. And then in the modern time now, I find it interesting that it's more as an escape from, you know, for elitism, or as, you know, as a token of, you know, your class status, your social capital. I was super interested by this shift, and, you know, how one phenomenon can be related, or even we can see it as a hyperlink to so many different other big phenomenon. The work I will be showing at the Art Pop, it's a video. It will be showcased on their a matrix of tiles. And yeah, when I first got invited to this opportunity, I was like, it's, you know, because it's a vitrine space, so it's kind of overlooking the whole, like, the street. I kind of wanted to make it related to the street view. So for this work, I will be including, you know, cranes, like 3D models of cranes, which we always see at construction sites, and now it's like all over the place in the city. And yeah, and imagine the crane moving slowly and almost have their own agency, and then they will move. Just like, it's almost like a futuristic landscape where things are kind of different. To be honest, I just started making the work, so it's less concrete in my mind right now to talk about. But it is part of a project I started before called Garden. And in that work, I made a poem out of this super common signage, house for sale. So yeah, by aggregating all the different variations of the anagrams, I sort of put together this poem, and it started to get super weird and super distracted from the original, you know, sentence. However, also kind of related, because the new iterations of the words, they started to mean, to depict this landscape of almost like a garden. So it's very interesting to me. Yeah, I'm in general, I make a lot of work that are text-based. To me, I see my process as like I'm making poem, but using media technologies. I think that's kind of an extension from what I started with sound, because when I first got exposed to, you know, the avant-garde or, you know, the postmodernism and Dadaism, and I was really attracted by, you know, the cut-ups techniques and the sound poetry, concrete poetry. Yeah, and it's that my practice now is totally, you know, a continuation and to that. Yeah, for a long time for myself, I had a trouble, you know, thinking through these two different mediums, because, you know, exactly like we said, when I perform, it's such, it's almost like, because I improvise, so it's almost like I don't need much preparation. If we think about it in terms of giving labor, you know, it seems so much less than, you know, constructing an installation and working with technology. But what I'm more like, more and more I practice, that now I'm very interested in how, you know, setting up an environment with technologies that could automate or, you know, function on its own to perform. Yeah, that's why I was so fond of Twitter bots, you know, making bots. And even for my performance, I started using some tools that would just, you know, perform on its own. Yeah, it's almost like, you know, before I use, you know, loop pedal a lot, because when you play solo, it's one of, you know, the most practical thing to help you. And when you use that kind of setup, you know, a lot of time you're just be present and don't really need to intervene the process. And I think that's the common you know, features or common topics that I'm interested in both performance and installation. At first, for example, the work I was talking about, that show at AVE with smart typing, is like it does involve me, but as time goes by, it kind it's kind of, you know, erasing me, if that makes sense.
Yes, totally.
And that kind of process, I see it as like a mutation of myself. And in installation, I try to more, you know, be more as a collaborator with these systems, instead of, you know, as in an administrator, you know, who has the master access to everything, and, you know, has the control. However, I do know that this is it's not the case all the time. Yeah. I started doing performing in this kind of way because I noticed that sometimes if, for example, if I perform with instrument or setup that I'm super familiar with, take piano as an example, you know, it's so easy and you know, to fall into your habits. And that will immediately affect the sound of it. And I guess I'm very, very attracted to, you know, a state of being naive. And 'cause I guess it's because when I was studying piano performance when I was young, and it wasn't a really good experience, and just playing piano makes me feel constrained. But that's not what we want, you know. When we make music, that's the very first thing is we want to feel free. So that's when I started to, like, I want to unlearn what I learned about piano, what I you know, because I do believe sound is a bodily experience. If you are very familiar with an instrument, which is a technology, you will be in return reconfigured by that instrument. And because of my not so good past experience about, you know, piano or acoustic instrument, I don't want to be changed by it. So sometimes I will play instrument I've never learned, or I didn't even know how to make it sound. One time I was playing trumpet with a friend, and I guess for the audience, it still probably sounds the same, but for me as a performer, there is like a few seconds before you make it make sound, there's a void space, because you don't know how to approach this object, you know, you don't know how to connect with it, and it's like a very deep fear. But once you overcome that and make a sound and start it to blend into, you know, the whole performance or the whole soundscape, it's such a magical feeling. And another reason I do this kind of, you know, silly thing that I don't repeat my setup is it's very practical, you know, because so many times, especially if you play for DIY shows, it's you have to like drag this big suitcase of all these equipment and you know, do a sound check, and then, you know, spend a lot of time you know, feeling around with it, and it's just very draining. Like I'm to be honest, I'm very tired of that, and that's why like sometimes I'll just like look at my rack of gear, and then just before the show, and I'm like, okay, let's do. I want some, you know, harmonica sound today. I'll just put that in my suitcase. And, you know, sometimes I feel so tired and not feeling it, I'll just bring my a microphone. I always believe that, you know, sound or music, it's already there. It doesn't matter which tool or bridge you need to use, or like a medium you need to use to channel yourself or connect yourself to it. Yeah.
Oh, I love that approach. I'm never bringing a suitcase of gear to a DIY show again.
Oh my god, yeah.
I totally hear you. Understand.
Préféré sur scène, il y a pensé toute la semaine. Il a acheté son billet, il a mis son chandail du groupe, il s'est rendu à la salle de spectacle. Il n'a pas pu rentrer dans la salle de spectacle. Il a rangé son chandail du groupe, il a acheté son billet et il y a pensé toute la semaine.
N'attendez pas de frapper un mur, faites-vous vacciner. En septembre, le passeport vaccinal sera exigé pour fréquenter certains lieux publics. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
CKUD, ma radio, communautaire, j'y ai trop. CKUD.ca, CKUD.
90,3 FM, Montréal.
Chronique d'un bar à chambre. Frédéric Ombriaco. Aller et venir. La petite chambre. Il allait et venait. Allait y dormir, venait y boire, allait travailler et revenait manger. Allait fumer. Allait ailleurs ensuite, puis y revenait. S'assoyait au bar, buvait pour se réchauffer. Montait pour y fumer, y travailler le papier, écouter le vent du froid dans la pièce par la petite fenêtre. Tandis qu'il fumant, mangeant, dormant, repartant, allait et venait. Du haut de la petite chambre au deuxième étage, l'on voit les crottes de chien, juchées sur le trottoir, gobées par les oiseaux, humectées par les rats, dégoûtant les humains, gelées par le froid,